think that deserves another studio round of applause. Let's go for it. Yay! And credit where credit's due, of course, it's thanks to that wonderful Dylan Rice, of course, partner of Sue Rice, who indeed actually put us in touch with the wonderful soul who is Niall Burley, who is responsible for, obviously, the Square Bears being in the house today.
Aww.
Well, very good. So it just shows that sort of interconnectivity. Initially, I thought they were just going to do a phone link, and they said, well, come into the studio. That's wonderful.
Why not?
Why not? Mm-hmm. Exactly. Why
experience
not, indeed?
The whole thing.
William Sitwell is remote. He's also rural, so he's uncontactable from that point of view, unless he drops out in all sorts of ways. But we will be speaking to Peter Gordon, the chairman of the Marine Boat Show, shortly, and I think Alan Stevens, who's over in the Forest of Dean, talking about the end, of course, the Doctor Who scenario. Let's just go to Aaron Patchett here, from that point of view. Aaron is sort of sitting in the corner there. Aaron, on a base, what's your journey, to use that wonderful X Factor-like phrase, what's it been like so far since you met the rest of these team? You know, you met Joe and Max and Josh and Amber and Molly. Sorry, I mentioned somebody you shouldn't have mentioned there, but never. When you actually sort of met them within the whole sort of thing, has it been just the time of your life so far?
Oh God, well yeah, it's been a bit of a ride, hasn't it? I would say it's been a bit of an easy life. Only 2 days a week at college, but yeah, I've been really enjoying it recently. I've been able to experiment on more than one instrument, which is always nice.
Do you have a favourite?
It's hard to choose. It's hard to choose.
I wasn't talking about an individual member of the band. I was actually
sorry
about the instruments.
Both.
Because I'd always go for the one called Amber, obviously. Molly, from your own point, same question in terms of when the first and what was your route to joining the Square Bears?
Last year I was in a different band at college.
Really? So you're a poach then?
It came into this year. We finished last year and it came to this year, and we weren't happy as a band.
Was that creatively, or was it just going in different directions?
It didn't work.
Right.
So I left, and then they opened their arms to me.
So you adopted her in many ways. She have here. There's a little refugee who is slightly happy with the whole sequence, and now she's been adopted by the Square Bears because the Square Bears care.
There's too many rhyming words here.
Square Bears care. We actually have that funk, soul, and disco, a whole range of things. You're all too young to remember the whole initial funk, soul, and disco movement, as indeed Liv Clark actually alluded to. But musical influences, it's a cliche question. But let's start with Max.
Musical influences. As a band, I think Chic is definitely a big influence. Ooh. We like going on stage.
You like a bit of Niles, do you?
Obviously. Yeah, Nile Rodgers, what a man.
Yeah.
Yeah, black and white, dressed up, suited and booted, but musically as well. All the disco and funk vibes.
Are we thinking Everybody Dance, La Freak, I Want Your Love? You know, if we're looking for the Chic sort of moments, dance, 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 yowza, yowza, yowza. Any of those that particularly float your boat?
We do play Everybody Dance.
Do you?
And we absolutely love it. So probably that one.
Well, I think that, you know, that to me, Mary Dancy, sounds like a cue.
Oh.
Capaldi, the incarnation of the Doctor, actually went into soul and funk, and with the sonic shades now, of course, back with the famous sonic screwdriver, spoilers ahead, we could actually have had a whole new theme there, as opposed to rock and roll. We could have had Chic.
I think it would work.
Exactly, that's the words of Claire Margerison. Mary Dancy, would you agree with that?
Yep, completely.
Yeah, definitely. And do we have any Doctor Who aficionados amongst the wonderful Square Bears? No. That's fine. It's all perfectly wonderful, and we will have another reprise of the Square Bears later in the production. But Mary, you're delighted that Alan is back with us, because you wanted to actually talk Doctor Who.
Yes, I actually watched this episode. One just passed, so I'm cleared up.
Did you watch it as well?
I did, yeah.
And I watched it too.
Wow, yes. finally, we watched it.
It's amazing. So, Alan, we're on the same page. Good morning. How's the Forest of Dean?
It's a bit wet.
Okay then.
It's been raining a lot recently.
That's the West Country for you. We've just
not quite as wet as some places though.
No. Well, we've just been to Cumbria, so we're now moving down the country in our kind of global midweek
drive
morning edition. Exactly. Yeah, bending through that. Thankfully, we haven't ended a la Sapphire and Steel in the 1970s, where of course one goes off and lives forever in a diner, which is wonderful in a sort of TARDIS-like way. But wasn't it great to actually see, you know, the original consoles back together for the TARDIS?
Yeah.
Claire, before Alan gives us his wonderful insight into Heaven Sent.
Actually, it will be Heaven Sent, because I'm going to recant what I said last week. But carry on anyway.
Yeah, okay, so what were your thoughts, Claire?
I thought it was pretty. It was okay. I mean, I was kind of half asleep when I watched it. Uh-huh. But
some might say that's the best way to actually watch a series.
Yeah. And I did find, like, obviously Clara came back, and that was a bit, you know,
again,
typical. Mm. But I did.
But as a waitress.
Yeah.
You know, in
exactly,
a diet in a restaurant.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. But I did like the. I really, really liked the music in this episode, actually. I'm a big fan of Murray Gold, and I really, really liked the music in this.
So, music, Maisie Williams? Not so much. Mary Dancy.
Yeah, I'm a bit the same as Claire. Like, it was good, but as you predicted, like, no one ever dies. She came back. So, yeah.
Okay, then. Alan Stevens, Doctor Who scholar, editor of Celestial Tie Room, general all-round good soul behind Magic Bullet Productions, and co-presenter, co-producer in The Forest of Dean. What's the final statement?
Well, as you might be aware, after the episode, I put up a photograph of a plush crow with the words, "You had one job," on it. And a lot of people liked that, so I think they did sort of strike a note that, you know, this crow had one job to kill her and failed to do that, and we're all a bit annoyed about it. Because it is a bit irritating when someone says, "Oh my goodness, you know, you're going to die. Oh my goodness, you're dead. Oh, but we've now done some special sci-fi magic and you're back alive again." So I think, you know, it kind of debases the currency a bit if you continually say you're going to do something and then don't do it. And I think that if you haven't got rules, and even if it's science fiction, if you haven't got rules, then after all, things become a bit sort of, oh well, you know, the boy who cried wolf thing, you know. I like the new Sonic screwdriver. It looked quite nice, didn't it? I like the old TARDIS console. In fact, I think I wish they'd stuck with that. I didn't really follow it, to be honest, because I had a few glasses of wine beforehand.
As many players would say, semi-conscious or having a few glasses of wine, the best way to actually check.
Well,
I'm not sure if it is the best way, really.
Last week, I said I'd watched the episode a second time, and there was a number of flaws in it. And then I had a discussion on Facebook with eight people. It went on about 36 posts. And we kind of worked out that it actually did make sense, that the reason why the rooms reset was because the veil would go into the room. Once it went into the room and then left the room would reset. So if it didn't go into a room, the room wouldn't reset. And the reason why he was able to dig a hole and write something on a piece of stone was because somewhere along the iterations of him appearing in the teleport and being killed, the veil didn't go into the courtyard. And therefore, when he came back again, it reset to the previous one, if you see what I'm saying. So, you know, if he does something in a room and the veil doesn't go into it, then next time he appears in the teleport, that becomes part of the structure. So it was, to be fair to Moffat, he had actually thought it out and put an enormous amount of thought into it. So I recant what I said about the previous story, that it looked very nice but didn't make sense. It actually did make sense. This one, though, I'd have to watch it again and then have another 36 post argument with someone to see if this one made sense. I personally wasn't too keen on it because I'm not really too keen on Clara, and I was hoping to see the back of her, to be honest. I think it's a character.
No!
I think he's a character. Doesn't really have. I mean, we were continually told, you know, by the doctor how much he cared for her. But
Duty of care.
Yeah, but I don't really think. I didn't really believe it. I think we were just told this. It wasn't really a demonstration of it. Really, I didn't really feel there was any particular magnetism. You know, any particular connection between the two characters, either in the writing or in the, you know, in the performances. To be honest, I know the Amy Pond. Whenever the actress who played, who was that? Please remind me. Amy Pond, played
that
by
was Karen Gillan.
Karen Gillan, yeah. Whenever you watch any behind the scenes stuff of Karen Gillan and Matt Smith, there was a kind of
chemistry.
Yeah, there was absolutely there. Yeah,
the same height, for instance, that worked.
A good friendship, I think.
Yeah. And she became a Guardians of the Galaxy person.
Yeah,
and he's done other things.
I don't think Amy Pond was better written than Clara. And that is not, you know, well, but I think there was something about the actress that there was a fission between her and Matt Smith, and I don't think there was anything between
Jenna Coleman and Peter
Coleman
Capaldi
or Matt Smith. No, I think I don't think there was anything at all. There was no spark there, and I think that's probably
she was from Blackpool. Let's face it.
Well, that's supposed to be.
I'm just making it as an observation, you know, Jenna Cole from Blackpool. That's
so no
was
one, so people in Blackpool are like pod people, or whatever they want to rain.
Insulting people left, right, and centre. Honestly,
I'm just making an observation. You know, if you know, just a word of advice: if the Square Bears ever get an opportunity to play Blackpool, just be very careful, guys.
I'll bring my own.
Exactly. They've got a reputation.
Well, I was watching a friend of mine comes every time I come in the forest, a mate of mine comes over and we watch the new series. You know, we started from Rose and we've now reached Kill the Moon, which is not the best episode. And I was watching it and I kind of think that I don't think Jenna Coleman always has that accent. I think it's when she's required or says I come from Blackpool, suddenly she puts on the accent.
Exactly. But that's why she's an actress, actually.
But other times I think she's not actually using the actress at all. Accent. I think she's actually talking, you know, basically, you know, BBC English.
Listen, let's face it. As her next role is going to be as the young Queen Victoria, you can't have a Queen Victoria sounding like a Lancashire lass from Blackpool. It's not going to work.
No, but if you're playing a Lancashire lass from Blackpool, oh, great.
The possible title of the next Square Bear album, that.
Far
a Lancashire lass from Blackpool.
Far too early in the morning. If you're playing a Lancashire lass from Blackpool, then you should be consistently playing a Lancashire lass from Blackpool. If that's the character you're playing, you shouldn't be only playing a Lancashire lass from Blackpool.
Alan, you're so method.
It's not method at all. It's sensible, wasn't it? I mean, years ago there was an actress called what was her name? Jackie Lane, wasn't she? And she was supposed to be playing a Liverpudlian character, and her accent was all over the place until eventually she settled on the BBC English as well. And I kind of think that, you know, I don't know, perhaps it was just me. Perhaps I only noticed she was talking with this Lancashire accent when she said she was, but I don't know, I thought her accent was a bit
Well,
daunting.
It may well be. I mean, Claire, on Saturday we'll be checking out Peter Pan, the winter show of the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, and I'm sure they don't have any Lancashire accents at all. Mind you, they do have Wendy with her arm in a sling. Has she got rid of that yet?
I think she has a bit of a brace on it at the moment, actually. I think they're
going
to have to hide it.
How's she going to fly with that?
Exactly.
Health and safety gone mad, you know.
So, was there Sorry, did you say her arm or teeth?
Her arm.
Yeah. All right.
Like she's got a brace on her arm at the moment, not on her teeth now.
All right.
I know. Some ways, there's just no stopping the whole thing. It's just one thing after the other. So if we were to push you and ask you for a score out of 10 modular units to actually give the episode, Alan, where would you go?
I don't know. It's a different one because I've actually have to watch it again, but because I've had to come to the forest, I haven't done it. I don't know what I gave last week, so I'd probably give that 9 now. This week's, I don't know. I mean, to be honest, I think that the season started very well and then had this sort of huge dip in the middle of it and then came back reasonably strongly at the end. So it would probably be around 7 or 8 or whatever, I suppose. But I think the character of
Clara.
Yeah, I can't even remember. I think she was always inconsistent.
She was an impossible girl.
She was impossible girl who apparently went back in timelines and helped the Doctor, and then that was completely wiped in his final story because he didn't die on Friends.
Alan, in a world in which great, wonderful funk bands can take their name of tunes from a classroom tour that they actually went on when they actually sort of were having a visit to Lincoln College, anything is possible, you know? KO4, I cite my case. See the way I've subtly been plugging the...
KO4, what does that stand for?
What does KO4 actually stand for? We know it's a classroom, but what does KO4 stand for, please, Amber?
The K is for the Knights Theatre, which is our building, and O4 is just the room number.
As in ground floor, room 4, presumably.
Zero.
There's only one floor.
Softly done. Nicely done. That's helped meaning come to life as we head off to the London Boat Show and the Marine Boat Show in a few moments' time. Last two questions for Alan, please. Claire.
Have you joined your telephonic link with us today, Alan?
Yes.
Good, good. And will you be joining us again soon?
Well, as Doctor Who's now ended, probably... Not again! Not again for another year.
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure we can. I mean, there's of course the Christmas special.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
Don't forget the Christmas special. By the way, Claire, did that chime with your scores?
Yeah, I think so. I think that I would probably give it about a 7 as well, but I'd have to watch it again.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And but basically, what Claire said was what I'd said. You know, but we both watched it while half cut. And, we both liked bits of it. You know. Yeah.
And Mary.
Yeah, I think Alan got it right. I think about 7s.
So that's the message. So I'd like to know where you got the notion. The boat, baby, rock the boat. Yes, only a matter of days now, actually. Well, a couple of weeks before we head into London Boat Show territory, and chairman of the Marine Boat Show, Peter Gordon, curiously connecting with, of course, the Hughes Corporation and Rock the Boat, with us online now. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Good morning. Very apt song. Thank you very much for that.
Very good. And you've just come out of our TV studio, so appreciate, obviously, the fact that you're sharing with us the importance of boats, the Marine Boat Show, etc. It's just a fantastic event. Would you like to share with us and the assembled multitudes across the globe online and certainly within Lincolnshire why the Marine Boat Show is such a must-attend event?
Well, London Boat Show is the first boat show of the calendar every year. Starts January the 8th, 100,000 visitors. You have hundreds and hundreds of boats. You have thousands of brands. You have boats from these mega, you know, £4.5 million, which none of us can afford, but we'd all like to, down to a stand-up paddleboard for £300, which we can all afford, and thousands of people buy them and get on the water.
We've obviously been delighted each year to make our way. It's always goes down as our first official coverage and outside broadcast audio postcard of the year. And obviously being sited where it is in the glorious XL Centre, kind of it's a perfect setting for the whole thing.
Oh, it is. We, you know, used to be in central London. It was, we had to move there because the boats that people are building and buying were getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And XL, we can bring the biggest boats in the world, but also we're able to take the smallest boats in the world. And people want to go to the show. It's a spectacle. And you have these fantastic yachts and motor yachts, which are the draw. But then they can go and look at the chandlers, the rope people, people who make radars, you know, all, you know, wellies, all these bits and pieces, which we can touch, feel, and frankly, afford.
I just pulled up some of the photographs from last year, including a very shocking sort of presenter there, looking quite surprised at the opening scenarios, because looking at last year at the CWMFX London Boat Show, of course it has been the Tullett Preborn London Boat Show, are we still CWMFXing, or are we talking about a different London Boat Show entirely?
It's just London Boat Show, as it has been for the last 62 years.
Brilliant. That's what we like to hear. Will you be putting in for a Sunseeker? Because those Sunseeker yachts, we think, are pretty sort of critical for the next stage of our world domination.
Well, you've got Sunseekers and Princesses, so the beauty about having two manufactured like that is you can trade them off. I really like the Sunseeker, but what deal would you do me on the Princess?
Yeah.
So you've got two brands to look at, and if you can afford either of them, then you're doing better than I am.
Claire, fancy getting a couple of those Sunseeker yachts?
Yes, please,
there? Sort of
definitely.
Go with that.
I've always wanted to actually go on a yachting holiday. I think that's if I had a lot of money, I'd want to yacht around Mediterranean area, just sit on the boat, read loads of books. That'd be the dream.
As an English undergraduate, it's fair to say, Peter, that yachting around could actually be entering the vocabulary as a new sort of must-do adjective.
Must-do, absolutely, yeah. Again, don't bother buying a boat, and I shouldn't say that, as it were, because you can't afford to buy a boat. I know, I don't own a yacht, but I do go yachting. you can do charter, flotilla in the Mediterranean, you know, all over the world. If you want to go sailing, you can go sailing. You don't necessarily have to buy.
And as we've often said, don't forget canals. Don't forget, obviously, the inland waterways. Don't forget all the other sort of side of things that actually occur within the Marine Boat Show. After all, we do live on an island, don't we, Peter?
Oh, we do. We've got the canal boats there. The biggest uptake recently is stand-up paddleboarding, known as supping, because, you know, like I've got a couple at home, they blow up, put them on my rucksack, go down the water's edge, blow them up with this great big pump, and hey, presto, you're on the water for a couple hundred pounds, and you go to places where your sunseeker can't go. These things draw 2 or 3 inches. Now, I live in Poole Harbour, I can cover the whole harbour on my stand-up paddleboard, and it costs pence, and you feel like you own the world.
Well, you see, that's the message as we all work our way through that whole process. How can people actually get in touch with the Marine Boat Show, the London Boat Show? I mean, tickets presumably now online and available for purchase. The ideal Christmas gift in many ways.
Yes, £15 for a ticket. You can go on to www.londonboatshow.com. Two kids go free. And to be honest, if you bring a third child, I think we'll let them sneak in as well. The tickets are on sale now. And I think 100,000 visitors is what we get, because it is one of the big domestic shows in the whole country, let alone just a boat show.
Well, as I say, the 8th of January for the press day cannot really come soon enough. We're just so excited. Last year, of course, Nicole Scherzinger was actually doing her stuff from that point of view. Already prepping for the show, I see. Sadly, we weren't able to actually combine our diaries to actually do a feature with Made in Chelsea star Lucy Watson, but she's obviously sort of singing the praises as well. I know.
Love Lucy Watson.
Exactly. So, but from any particular celebrities you can actually share with us? Obviously, apart from yourself, Peter, because, you know, clearly the Peter Gorn. Exactly.
But, you know, you do have, you know, you get, you know, every year, I've been exhibiting for decades, and you see, oh my gosh, you get footballers, you get film stars, you get TV people, there are a myriad of people coming around, but actually the show's really for the everyman, the everywoman, people are just normal people, bit of money to spend. Actually, I wouldn't mind getting on the water, in the water, under the water.
Which is pretty much the whole sort of thing. Something. Claire, will you be joining us this year for the London Boat Show?
Possibly, it's a possibility. Yeah, I'll have to look in my diary.
Location report. I think Emma's already booked for the whole thing. And who knows, Ed will be joining us as well. So great stuff there. Peter, it's been fabulous touching base with yourself. And obviously, hats off to Nick for actually showing the on-broadcast way, which is actually, if in doubt, have a mobile phone to hand and then the interview can proceed from thence.
Perfect.
Jeez. Wherever we are, absolutely.
Wherever, that's the quality. So, Peter, have you had an interesting or relatively interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
That's been really good. Thank you. I appreciate your time, and I look forward to seeing you at XL January the 8th.
I think what you sort of said, the answer to the second question, Peter, we will connect with you again. A round of applause, please, for Peter Gorn. Yay!
Thank you.
And keeping the boat thing going, what about a bit of Ocean Colour Scene and the Riverboat Song? Does that kind of pass muster with yourself, Peter?
That's more than acceptable, yes.
Program today, we thank Gabriella Peralta from Gibraltar, Arthur McKenzie from Tyneside, Ian Lennox also from Tyneside, Liv Clark, of course, from Cumbria, Christine Webber and David Collingwood, and of course, Alan Stevens, but as well as, of course, Peter Gorn, chairman of the Marine Boat Show. And, of course, in the studio, we say happy trails to Mary Dancy and Jessica Ward. Claire's still with us, though, hanging on in there tenaciously, because, of course, the Square Bears are still with us as well. Hooray! Collectively, of course, a wonderful team encompassing Aaron. Is it Aaron or Aaron?
It's Aaron.
It is Aaron. We're absolutely.
You've got to get it right.
Absolutely. Well, I don't really mind.
Aaron Patchett, Joe Locke, Max Culling, and Amber Shucksmith and Molly Allen. Yeah, so Claire, it's up to you to kind of wrap this whole thing up and make a decision as to do we reprise KO4, Floating, or Love is a Crime? All of these could be critical questions in the sort of final wrap-up, but go, Claire, the floor is now yours.
Can we have KO4, please? I really liked that one.
Well, put it to the band, are they happy with that?
I'm happy.
Max, would you like to give some shout-outs, to use that wonderful sort of wonderful trendy 1990s phrase, really?
Shout-outs.
Yeah, so shout-outs to some of the team who have kind of been sitting happily as your kind of studio team outside in the other area, in the airlock section of Sirenoma 7.3 FM.
We've got a lot to thank them for. I'll try and get the last names right. We've got Oliver Cummins.
Go, Oliver. Yay,
Adam,
Oliver, go.
Adam Fraves.
Go, Adam. What do they do? What do Adam and Oliver do?
Well, between them all, they've managed to get the music video, the recordings. They've managed to book this, which we've loved. They've done it all for us, really. We turned up and played.
They are A&R
people extraordinary. I can never get his name right. You must have.
I think it's Niall. I think it's Niall, as in Niall Quinn, no relation. Or indeed Niall Burley. Of course, no relation to Craig Burley either. Or indeed George Burley. Although he could be. Anyway, thanks to Niall. Yes, who again, just wondrous stuff. And of course, your parents and everybody else has just been part of the whole thing. It's been great. So, where can people actually follow the Square Bears? You're obviously all over social media in terms of Facebook. Even I have been able to actually like the Square Bears the whole routine. So, I think it's high time they sort of went through the roof there. Who actually designed the sort of image of the Square Bears in that kind of strange, crazy, almost Damon Albarn blur-esque kind of image that we've got there?
On the Facebook?
Yes.
That was Molly Allen.
That was Molly Allen.
The one on
that was you, Molly. Was that your gift to actually being so grateful that you were rescued from that other band?
Yeah.
Very true. All positive stuff there. So, Molly, where do you see 2016 taking the Square Bears?
I don't know. Everywhere.
Amber,
a wedding. Yes. Oh. A wedding next year.
It's going to be great. Oh, wow. It'll be wonderful. Max, what are your sort of looking ahead to 2016?
Looking ahead, more recordings. Hopefully, I've loved it. Yeah. Get some more original stuff out.
Aaron, your thoughts?
Oh, I'd love to get an album done, and just gig more generally.
Okay. And Joe?
Yeah, same as that. Has
quite
been
literally.
Said.
All about the music. That's important. Have you? Is this been your first ever radio interview then?
It has.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't know, would you, Claire? You know,
no,
came
all natural.
Seasoned pros, which is wonderful. So, will you be returning in the near future then?
I hope so.
Excellent. I think that's a definite must there. I mean, it's been a blast. It's been a joy. Who would like to introduce KO4 then? I mean, it was Claire's choice. I'm happy with respect to this. Max, I got a sense you sort of coming up. I mean, you were the first person to somehow destiny's brought you to this sort of moment in time and so on. It's time to actually say happy trails to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition team as we head off with the Square Bears and
KO4.
war. There's a battle with no war.